Welcome back to our Bible study segment, and this is where we take some time out of our program, and really it's the most important thing that we do here at Naomi's Table is to do our Bible study. And today our Bible study teacher, Connie Stample, is here with Lesson 13, and this one deals with blasphemy, Connie, and I'm very excited for you to just really unwrap this idea of blasphemy, and I'm just excited for it. I know you are too.
Oh, definitely. God's Word is good, and we have much to learn. We're going to be looking at a passage of scripture in Mark, verses 22 to the end of the chapter, which is ends at verse 35. And I'm going to read the first paragraph of it, and we'll talk about it. So here we go. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him, and he said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, he has an unclean spirit." Going back to verse 22, we see it says, "And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem." So remember, Jesus is still in Galilee. And so they traveled 70 miles or more. When it says they came down from Jerusalem, that's because Jerusalem is built up in the mountains and it's higher up. And so they went down in elevation to the north to reach him there in Galilee. But they came with a purpose. And they were coming really to discredit him or to turn the people against him, because what they were saying he is possessed by Beelzebul. And Beelzebul is the name which really means Lord of the house or master of the house. And by context and by what they're saying, they're really saying Jesus is the master of a house of demons, or he's Satan, or that he is doing what he's doing by the power of Satan. So by the power of Satan, Jesus is casting out demons. And Jesus shows just how absurd that kind of logic is, because then what Jesus, and then the rest of the scripture says, "And by the prince of demons, he casts out demons." And so they're saying, okay, Jesus is casting out demons by the power of Satan. Demons who are the servants of Satan are being cast out by Satan. Again, illogical if you think about it. So Jesus says, "And he called them to him, and he said to them in parables," and here the parable means just a short, powerful saying that teaches something. He said, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" And then he gives a common example. "If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand." And also it says, "And if a house is divided against itself, the house will not be able to stand." So he's putting an end to that argument that Satan is going to cast out himself, which makes a lot of sense. And then in verse 27, he speaks to again his power and his authority over Satan, because the Lord says, "But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house." And Jesus, again, by his ability, his power to cast out demons, is proving that he's stronger than Satan. Satan is already bound. And Jesus has proven that. And then Jesus teaches them something. He says, "Truly, I say to you," and literally it's amen, which means it shall be so, or this is a true saying. "I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." And so, and then in verse 30, it ends with, "where they were saying he has an unclean spirit." And what is Jesus talking about? We know from scripture that our God forgives sin. But what would it mean to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? That's the real question. And what we can find out from looking at other scriptures that'll help us answer that. The Lord spoke in Matthew, and it's recorded for us 12:31-32, he said, "Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, But whatever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. So that idea, then there's a certain kind of sin that would not be possible to be forgiven. And Luke 12:10 says something similar. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. All right, so the question is, what is this sin? And if we look at the context and we think about what the Holy Spirit work was in the life of Jesus, remember at his baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon him visibly, and everything he's been doing has been led by the Holy Spirit. When someone blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, really what they're doing is they're consistently and repeatedly rejecting the work that God is doing in Jesus Christ to accomplish forgiveness and to reconcile people to himself. And it's, you can see that the scribes here in this account are already very close to perhaps finally rejecting the Holy Spirit, because they are saying something that is completely false. We remember that Satan is the father of lies, and it's at this point they're showing that Satan is their father, because they're saying that Jesus is doing miracles and teaching and casting out demons by the power of Satan. And really what they're doing is they're equating the Holy Spirit with Satan, and that is blasphemy to call what God is doing in the world to be the opposite, to be a perversity, to be what Satan is doing. And it, again, it's just interesting how Satan is good at lying. And so they're twisting the words, and probably some people were believing them. But truly, there's a hardening of the heart and a persistent rejection of what the Holy Spirit is revealing in Jesus Christ. That if a person continually, persistently rejects God's word, that will lead to eternal condemnation. I would point out that we know some people actually did at times say things against Jesus and they were forgiven. We think about Peter, who rejected Jesus and he was restored. But then we also think about Judas, who rejected Jesus and betrayed him, and as far as we know, did not repent. And Jesus did say that he was a son of destruction. We also look and think about the Apostle Paul, and I've got those in the study notes, those passages about how he recognized as a persecutor of the church, how he had really blasphemed against Jesus and who he was. But once it was revealed to him, Jesus as the Lord and Savior, then how he turned, he repented, and became a man who was very used of God. So when we talk about, again, this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, it really comes to what has been your persistent, your lifelong, your repeated way of receiving or not receiving God's word, the gospel, the kingdom that Jesus was bringing to people in Mark. So we've got the reaction of the scribes and the Pharisees to Jesus, and actually how it's really the wrong way to accept God's word and God by rejecting him and attributing his work to the work of Satan. Now we're going to take another passage, look at another little bit here in this chapter, and this is going to be, again, about his family. And again, we'll see that they don't understand who he is. So this is Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. And then it says, "And his mother and his brothers came out, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking around at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" We have here again that his family was, again, seeking him, and obviously they wanted to tell him something, do something, have him probably change something. And what Jesus does here is he's instructing not that we don't honor our families, but that we are to honor God most of all, and we are to obey him. And by looking around at his disciples and saying, these around me are my brother and sister and mothers, the Lord is saying the spiritual family is more important, actually, than the human family. And he ends the account by saying, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Notice how he doesn't say my father, because again, the family of God has the Father as the family. But those who belong to God's family desire to do God's will. And there's several scriptures where Jesus talks about that. The ones who have eternal life are the ones who do the Father's will. And Obviously, his family right now doesn't understand the Father's will, and so that's not what they're desiring, but he is instructing and teaching his disciples, and they are starting to get it, and they are becoming people who desire to do God's will. And that's a beautiful thing, because may that be so for us, that we also desire God's will.
Oh, thank you. And we do want to desire God's will in all things, Connie. I do really appreciate that. And some very important concepts we talked about today, and you're going to be able to dig more into these in the notes. But, you know, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, our spiritual families being more important. And so I just really highly encourage you to go to our Bible Studies tab and download the notes and also these 10-minute podcasts that you can use around your own table to hold your own Bible studies if you like. Everything is free there. Help yourself and use these as God sees fit for you and your family. All right, we will be right back.